Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LBC Podcast. This is where we explore Christian theology and practice for the building up of God's family. My name is John Harrell. I'm the worship director here at LBC and your host today. And joining me, I'm very excited to be bringing on back again. My very good friend, Pastor Chris Moore.
Hey, thank you, John.
So I was enthusiastic.
Yeah. The funny thing is this is the first time I've been in here since we started doing video.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So as you're doing your intro, I was trying not to look at you because I didn't want to make you laugh because we're used to not doing it with
video. That's true. You were like part of the first iteration of the LBC podcast. You were doing a good job running that for a while. Now it's all on video. That's a good reminder for anybody who's like listening, predominantly just listening. If you want to see our faces and see what color shirts we're wearing and how shiny my head is or not today, you can watch on YouTube.
Yeah,
you can find that. It's fun. Yeah. Also joining us, as always, is Elijah Tran.
Hello.
Good job, Elijah.
Who is not AI.
Yeah,
We were just talking about this, that apparently AI could do Elijah's job. That's what Elijah says. I disagree.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, there's something about you being in the room that makes this more fun.
We'd be missing his aura.
We would.
Are we allowed to talk about auras on the LBC podcast? Yeah. I better rescue this. We're going to go south here really quick.
We are.
The presence of Elijah.
Elijah's presence.
So rather than AI, we have E.T. Elijah Tran.
Hey, literally. Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Oh, I'm a nerd. Okay. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
We are going to talk about something pretty special because there's something new coming up at LBC starting this weekend, and it is called Ministry May.
Ministry May.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this has to do with the month of May.
Yes.
I'm assuming it has to do with ministry at LBC.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it. What is Ministry May?
Yeah, so Ministry May. So this is our attempt to try to get a little bit earlier in our church calendar to encourage the church family to volunteer. So in the past, like last year, we tried to delighted and devoted. That was, let's recruit for our volunteer positions and then let's get people involved in a group. By the time we do that in August, September, it's too late for volunteers. Like we really need to recruit for them earlier in the year. And this is like the sweet spot in the calendar for in May. So it's really trying to put an emphasis on service during the month of May before we get into the craziness of the summer. And then, so by the time we get to the fall, like our teams have, they've got all their people in place.
Yeah.
And so then we're just focused on getting people connected in community. That allows us to do some more training during the summer because we've got our teams in place.
Okay.
It just helps balance out the schedule, right? Because
we've
got a lot going on at the church. So it's all those reasons. And it's just, you know, we wanted to make a month focused on what is service? Why are we serving? Where can you serve? And hopefully, you know, this podcast is part of the recruitment, but hopefully people after this month, you know, if they're feeling like, I don't really know where to serve, or I don't really feel gifted, or I don't know what I can offer, that we can help that. And also just communicate just the number of positions we have.
That's great.
You know, 'cause the church, I mean, there's only a few of us that are actually paid staff. The vast majority of the work that happens in the ministry of the church is volunteers, people that are giving up their time, you know? And so, just want to make an opportunity
for that. So people who have been going to Laurel Glen for a while would know that we usually, like in the past, it's been something we call Better Together, where, you know, what you're talking about, like at the end of summer, right before all of our fall stuff kicks off, we have a big ministry fair where we try to get people involved. It sounds like what you're saying is we're bumping that back and making it a whole month. We're putting it at the front end of summer.
Yeah.
So that we can hit the fall.
Yeah. We're kind of splitting that effort in half and doing the volunteer recruitment earlier, and then the push to get into like a life group or a men's or women's group, that's going to still happen in the fall. So
Before we get into our main topic on service, what's that going to look like? Why don't you just give people an idea? Like, what is the month of May going to look like around LBC? Are we going to do a sermon series on it? Are we going to stick with Revelation? Like, what is that?
Yeah. So we're going to run Revelation.
Okay.
I had already planned on preaching on the 24th, originally Revelation 12. Mm-hmm. But as Eric and Dave and I have talked, we're probably going to make that a sermon focused on service.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably going to be in Mark chapter 10. But the rest of the month, it's going to be, we're not going to have a big elaborate thing going on in the courtyard. It'll mm-hmm. be me up there doing an announcement mm-hmm. each Sunday. We'll have this podcast available. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some reels. And then you're going to start seeing people wearing, you know, these Here to Serve shirts. So as people get plugged into a ministry and we get them set into a position, we're going to give them a shirt and then say, hey, you know, wear it around campus, just to encourage the rest of the church to say, hey, like there's something going on that's different, you know? And, so no sermon series. Like we want to keep preaching through Revelation. There's a lot of traction and momentum with that, but we'll do one sermon probably this month.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So so we'll be looking for those t-shirts, people.
Oh, yeah. They'll be out in full force this Sunday.
That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. And this is another reason why, you know, some people they're, you know, we want to keep putting things on the podcast to get people to watch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those people who only listen, like me, I'm one of those people who only listen to podcasts, it'll drive them nuts when we keep talking about things like the shirt you're wearing. We're just being rude. All right. Well, hey, our topic then is on the topic of service, of volunteering service. Like you said, our paid staff in comparison to the amount of people that are coming every Sunday morning in comparison to the amount of our membership is very small. So the idea of professionalism where a paid staff is supposed to do everything, A, that's not really something we believe in. B, it's kind of impossible. Like nothing would really get done if that's the way that things work. Service and volunteering and plugging into the body, we keep beating that drum every year of the importance of that and the essential nature of that. So talking about service, let's just start with the basics. What is service?
Yeah. So there's two Greek words, if I can nerd out just a
nerd
little
out.
Bit.
That's what this is for.
So
nerd away.
If we go to 1 Peter 4:10-11. I know I've got my Bible here, but I've got it also typed out on my notes. That just helps us with time. But
the people who are only listening,
yeah, certainly
wouldn't
listening.
Have known.
They're not
going
to know. I know. You know my secrets. But yeah, so 1 Peter 4:10-11. I'm going to read it. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another." As good stewards of God's varied grace. There's so much packed into that. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So you've got that word serve in there three times. That's the Greek word diakoneo, which is really where we get the word deacon. So really deacon is just what that means, just as a servant. So it's the idea of hospitality. It's the idea of serving guests. It's the idea of a servant in a household who's there to serve the family. Right. And so that's, you get the table servant idea. You also get the word kind of minister. So a minister would be someone who serves, or a deacon. So that's kind of packed into that word. The interesting thing about that verse specifically is that we serve, and our service is being a good steward of God's varied grace. The varied, that word is talking about God's grace manifests differently in different people. And when you put all those people together, God gets glorified, but everybody has to participate. But we who've received whatever the gift that God's given us, by using it, we're being a good steward of that gift. So the reverse is also true. If I'm not serving and I'm not using it, I'm not being a good steward. I'm essentially wasting the gift that God's given me. And the key there too is that we serve one another. So what that means is that it's the church. It's other fellow believers in Jesus Christ. So God's given us a gift, given us these talents and skills and abilities to serve other believers in Jesus Christ in the church. That's the big reason why he's given us this gifting, and he gets the glory for it. We see at the end of the verse. Another Greek word, Galatians 5:13, For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Mm. And that Greek word, I think I pronounce it douleo, mm-hmm. where we get the doulos, which is really slave, right? Mm. Or servant. And really that the greater hint of that word or the feel of that word is that it's a service to God.
Yeah.
Right. So you get the idea we're serving God again by serving one another. So it's pointing to we're serving the other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's the idea of service. God gives us gifts, he gives us the ability, puts us in the church family, we get adopted in, and then we're all are called to participate and to serve each other. So essentially, if you are a Christian, like your ministry is the service of one another.
Yeah. You know? Wow.
And it's pretty simple.
Yeah. You know? So you're saying this isn't optional. Like if you are a part of a body of Christ, well, hopefully, I mean, if you are a believer, you should be a part of a local body. Mm-hmm. You should be a part of a local congregation. And what I'm hearing you say is that God's given his spirit to you. He's given his grace. You know, he's given you gifts. Everybody's gifted in one way or another. And God's varied gifts of grace are to be stewarded and utilized within the body of Christ, yeah. with one another to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And there's no real out there.
There's no out. Yeah.
That's for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's for everybody. And yeah. I'll get more into what that looks like and okay. why that's important. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're a believer, you're part of a church, mm-hmm. like you're called to serve mm-hmm. and where, you know, the question isn't if I serve, like should I or should I not serve? The question is, where are you going to serve?
Yeah.
And the question is, how are you going to serve?
Yeah.
Right. The Bible lays out a ton of passages on the heart demeanor and the behavior and the attitude of service. Mm-hmm. And then when we talk about his varied grace, then that really starts to get into like, where, like, how are you gifted?
Yeah.
So it's really, the question is where and how, not if.
Yeah. But
there's no if, it's
yeah.
you need to serve.
So how is this then demonstrated, you know, throughout scripture? Like are there markers that we can see? Are there things that will help us along the way to like, you know, give us some reasons?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God commanded it. That's obviously a reason, but where else do we see it throughout scripture?
Yeah.
Kind of lived out.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we're going to go. I want to point out five.
Okay.
That might be much for our podcast today, but like for me, and when you examine scripture, like these are the big ones. So the first one, mm-hmm. the first reason why we serve is because Jesus served.
Okay.
And actually they say Jesus made himself a servant. I'm going to read Philippians 2:3 through 8. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. I'm going to come back to that later. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Wow. Yeah.
And so a couple big mind-blowing terms and phrases in that passage. One is that he starts with humility.
Yeah.
Count others more significant than yourselves.
Yeah.
And then it starts talking about how Jesus became a servant. And so the idea of humility, in my mind, you really don't understand humility, and you can't learn humility if you're not serving someone else.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we see that Jesus takes the form of a servant. So he, in a sense, came and served us by going to the cross, mm-hmm. dying on the cross, paying the penalty on our behalf so that we can be right with God and have a relationship with him. But he came to serve. So we see this humility, we see the fact of service, and we see that packaged in Jesus Christ. So the reason why we serve is because Jesus served.
Mm-hmm.
And who are we to think that we're better than him right. by not serving, right? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe yeah. came to serve
yeah.
in his first coming. And so he expects us as his followers, the ones he's died for, mm-hmm. to follow suit and to serve. Mm-hmm. And it's a privilege to serve.
Yeah.
It's an honor to serve. And we do that with the idea that we consider others more significant than ourselves. And that gives us the right posture.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the disciples really struggled with that, especially, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, the night of Jesus' betrayal when they're in the upper room and Jesus, you know, gets up, undresses and starts washing his disciples' yeah. feet. And they just, Peter's not having it, you know, mm-hmm. he's like, because it's so outlandish that the Son of God, the Messiah, you know, the one who, is full of grace and truth and, you know, full of power and all of these things, that he's the one who stoops down and serves his disciples in the most demeaning way.
Yeah.
You know, looking to their interests, looking to their needs. Like they got it. They grasped it. You know, I think that that's something that we don't necessarily keep in view all the time. Mm-hmm. Is that we don't have an excuse.
Right.
Like you said, if the King of Kings demonstrates this for us, who are we? What possible reason do we have to not be obligated to serve one another in the same way, just as he's commanded us to? So right. That's a good passage, really good passage of scripture to take us to.
Yeah. I mean, you spend a lot more time there, but humility, service, and that's what Jesus did for us. The second reason is that God is glorified in our service.
Yeah.
And so I read 1 Peter 4:11 earlier, but that second half of that verse, it says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Mm. And he had just before that talked about, you know, serving, right? So somehow in our service, God is glorified. Just like Jesus is glorified by his obedience and his service, mm-hmm. when we are also serving in the name of Jesus, right? Serving one another, doing according to his grace and his strength, in the way that he's instructed us in scripture, like, God gets the glory.
Yeah.
The church is edified. The church grows. You know, we see, I think it's in John 17 about the world will know our love through our love for one another. And it glorifies the Lord. It points them to Jesus. So our service of one another really is a demonstration to the world, the dying world, that like there's hope. There's this love that we don't understand.
Yeah.
And it actually, I think it makes the church more attractive, right?
Yeah, 'cause that's true.
We want to be part of something that people are loved and served.
Yeah.
And, God is glorified in our service.
Amen.
You know, the third reason I think is we're designed for service, and that goes all the way back to Genesis 1, you know, 26 through 28. Right now I'm teaching, preparing for adulthood. So it's our
yes.
sixth grade class yes. teaching about, you know, sex and body changes
yeah.
and all the things. And so we keep going back to this passage because this is before sin.
Mm-hmm.
This is the original intention and design of
right.
man and woman in the marriage relationship. But what's embedded in this is this idea of work and service, because we go to verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then again, you go to verse 28, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what's implied there and what he's communicating is there's this idea of stewardship
right.
of God, his creation.
Right.
So he creates this beautiful creation and then creates man and woman, which are the pinnacle of his creation. Then he says, I want you to then enjoy what I've created, but I also want you to steward it. So there's this idea of work. Like
yeah.
we are to work
yeah.
in service to him. What naturally happens with that is we're going to serve one another as we're serving him, as we're stewarding creation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're wired to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're called to work. We're designed to work. That's part of who we are
yeah.
because that's how he created us.
Absolutely.
And so service is absolutely part of our design to work and to do it for him. and to be a blessing for others. So
that's a great point that's pre-fall.
Yeah, pre-fall.
That's before sin. They had work and a job to do.
Yeah.
To be stewards of that. That's good.
Yeah. The fourth reason why we serve is that the church is dependent upon a church full of servants. Mm-hmm. So you see that in Romans 12. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12. They're almost, they're cross-references, maybe they're parallel. But we get this picture of a church where everybody's serving and people's needs are being met. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, and here's this phrase again, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Right? We go back to Philippians. It's think of others more significant than yourself.
It's a reason that has to get said over and over and over again in the Bible, I think. Yeah.
But it's this again. It's prefacing another passage around service and how the body should function and the Christians should function with one another. But it says, but to think with sober judgment, right? This idea that you remember that you are a sinner saved by grace, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So again, it's talking about God's grace, His varied grace being assigned to people. So not everybody's going to be able to do everything. The idea that we don't compete with one another. Some of us might be running in different lanes of gifting, but we're all going in the same direction. Yeah, we're all trying to achieve the same point. So he's trying to remind you, like, we're not in competition. You remember who you were before Christ, motivation to serve Christ. It says, for as in one body we have many members, lots of people, and the members do not all have the same function, right? First Corinthians 12 starts talking about the different body parts,
right?
Like the eye doesn't do the foot and all those things. So we, though many, are one body. So all different functions, all different people, but we all are one in Christ and individually members one of another. So that one of another piece is that we're all here to benefit and serve one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. There it is again.
Yeah.
Let us use them. And then he gives us some examples. And this is not an exhaustive list. This is not a limiting list. This is just some examples. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So again, we see this idea of humility, right? It's always connected to service.
Yeah.
We already talked about the sober judgment, remembering who we are before Christ. According to the measure, again, I said that comparison and competition, that should not be in our vocabulary.
Right, right.
We look at somebody else who's gifted differently, and then it's like, oh, I can't do anything because I'm not like him. And I've been there, done that. I've done that way too much in my Christian walk where I'm comparing myself to someone else. And
Or you get jealous of other people's gifts, or, you know, you wish you were different than you are, as opposed to, being grateful for how God has gifted you and seeking out how God has gifted you and be faithful with it.
So the kind of bottom lines on this passage for me too is, like, the church is at its best when all the believers are serving, like when, you know, I think about a motor in a car. Like, you pull up the hood and you see all the different pieces, and all of them have to be, they're all doing different things, but they're all doing their thing, and they're all doing it together to get the car to move, to get the air conditioning to run, the stereo to work, all the things that need to happen in a vehicle. Every little piece has its position and its role. Same with the church. Like, if everybody's not participating, the church is really limping. The church is not at its best. The other thing I always think about too is when you have a lot of Christians that aren't participating, they're essentially sitting on the sidelines. And what happens when people sit on the sidelines too long is then they become like an armchair quarterback, and they have, you know, all of these opinions about how things should run. But yet they're not actually involved.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right?
Yeah. And it seems to be, oddly, this is a huge generalization.
Right.
But it does seem to be that the loudest critics typically tend to be the ones who aren't really contributing in other areas. Right. I mean, that is a huge generalization.
Yeah.
But overall, in 20 plus years of ministry, that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
You're right. There's this armchair critic type of mentality that seems to take over some people.
Yeah.
Where they're really good, or they have what they call, the gift of criticism.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is not a spiritual gift, by the way.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. Which, it'd be much better if you could just pitch in, if we could just show up, if you could put all of that effort into fixing problems and not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll share an analogy and then I'll share two secrets.
Ooh.
So the analogy is, if we think about the Christian life like a track meet. Mm. So you have people out in the stands observing, and then you have the runners and all the people doing all the different things you do in track.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the coaches and all those. They're all down on the track. So as a Christian, our position is on the track, right? And we could have different roles, right? I might be running, the mile or long jump or high jump. And then we're going to have coaches, and you've got various support people. So the Christians are on the track.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the world are the spectators. So if you think about the way the church is functioning, the world is watching the church.
Yeah. Good point.
But essentially Christ has adopted us and pulled us out of the audience and out of the stands and brought us to the track and said, now I want you to start running, and I'm going to teach you how to
run.
Welcome to the show. Yeah. Right. And here's all these other people that are running the race with you. And you've got this whole cool community. And so we're really trying to, in our love and our support and our encouragement of one another, And as we're proclaiming the gospel to the people in the sidelines, we're hoping that they're going to join us in the track. But when we have people that are sitting on the sidelines, it's like, no, you, this is a privilege to be on the track.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And so with that being said, there's two little secrets. So if I have someone complaining, so when I was in children's ministry, we might have someone complaining about something going on in children's ministry.
Yeah.
I typically would, not that I would ignore it, like if a parent came and there was a safety concern, something like, obviously we're gonna handle that, we're gonna do our best. But if it's just like a program thing or a...
Don't like the paint color?
Yeah, paint colors, right, that's happened. Usually I'll put more stock into what a volunteer will tell me, because in the sense I'm saying they're in the trenches, like they're in the classroom, they're working with the kids, they're the ones being creative, they're the ones that are putting all the prep work in. If they came to me and said, hey, like, it was called a complaint, then like I typically are going to like, let's fix this. And usually I'll ask them to help me with that. So another thing that I'll typically do is if somebody comes to me with a complaint or they're really passionate about something, it's usually my response will be, oh, it sounds like the Lord's put that on your heart. Like maybe you should help us spearhead that. You sound really passionate about that. And sometimes like, no, I wasn't, I'm giving this to you.
Pump
like,
the brakes. Hold
like,
on.
But no, but, and I don't mean that to be, combative or to try to put them in their place or anything like that. But I do believe it though. It's like sometimes the Lord works that way. Like you see something that maybe we don't see, and maybe you are gifted in that area. Well, let's get you in. Like maybe that's God pulling you in. So I always want to probe that first. And usually if people back off, it's like, okay, you're just complaining. I'll take that if we need to move on it. But sometimes that gets people in the door,
And it's really just calling them. It's not cruel. It's you calling them to their responsibility before Christ.
Right.
That's a loving thing to do as a brother in Christ, and essential as a pastor.
Yeah.
that's what you're here for. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so I would say the last reason why we serve is because the world needs servants.
Mm.
We are saturated in a world that's self-absorbed, self-consumed.
Yeah.
A world that's full of people screaming, serve me, but not willing to serve someone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And so a church that is busy in serving one another is running counter to the culture. And it's like the world desperately needs to see a church that serves one another, and not a church that looks and functions just like the world does.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, and then really... that's how we become effective in the Great Commission, mm-hmm. Matthew 28, is to make disciples. We literally have to have the mindset of serving one another, because mm-hmm. discipleship is, it is sacrifice. You're making an investment in somebody else. It's literally putting stock into a person, investing in them, and you know, giving up of yourself and your time.
Yeah.
And that's service. So how can we be effective at serving somebody who's not a believer in the world if we're not doing it in the church? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
The church is where we practice this.
Yeah.
And this is how we learn and grow. And then we're motivating and we're pushing each other to go out and be in our workplaces, be in our neighborhood. And, mm-hmm. and we learn to serve each other and learn how to serve a non-Christian because we learn to serve each other in the church.
Yeah, that's good.
That's how we're a light.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, five big reasons. And, you know, I think I've been at LBC for 23 years. Mm. I came as a college student in 2003, and there was a time when, you know, I had 2003, I was playing in a Christian punk rock band. Like, I kind of came a little
as
cocky.
One does.
Yeah, as
yeah.
one does, John. And I remember coming to LBC and sitting in the worship service. And so my comments now are not a critique of the worship service. This is more of a revelation of my arrogant attitude when I came, right? So,
okay.
So people who are listening to this, who are part of the choir and part of the worship team, this is not a critique of them.
Yeah.
But I came in thinking that I knew how worship should be. And I thought, and then I thought, wow, this is like old school. And, you know, man, if they had more electric guitar, if they had more this, they had more that, worship would be more vibrant and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of sat in that for, I don't know, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And so at one point we had shifted to a traditional service and then a contemporary service. And so then I got invited to participate in the contemporary service. Mm-hmm. So it was just more of like electric guitar and all that stuff. And that's where like Matt Purdy and Ryan Piercy, I got to know those guys because we were all doing that together.
Yeah.
And so in my mindset, when I went in, I was like, oh, I'm going to change this. I'm going to influence change in the worship team so that it's more relevant and more vibrant, right?
Yeah. You're going to fix it.
You're going to fix it. I just want you to hear the arrogance in that because what I learned when I started to get involved is that it was me that changed.
Mm, yeah, that's good.
Right? Because I actually learned to appreciate the choir. I appreciated all the men and women who had been serving there for a long time before me.
That's sweet.
There was a joy. There was a genuineness in the worship. And so then it just became like, I just want to like just be a small part of it. I want to be a part of this versus I'm coming in thinking that I'm better than them. Like God changed me.
Right.
But the point in all that is I wouldn't have learned that unless I'd actually just was willing to jump in and serve.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. Even if I came in with a crummy attitude, like God changed my heart, you know, and I'm not suggesting that everybody goes in with a bad attitude, but like God's a big God and God did more to me, I think, in helping me understand what worship is in that experience than I think I impacted the worship team.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
So, it does. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So that to me was a huge learning for me. So then fast forward, you know, before we hired you and there was that year we didn't have a worship leader. So, you know, Matt and Ryan and I were rotating. I think God used that previous season to prepare my heart for what the church needed at the time.
Yeah.
And
you guys were doing a great job.
Yeah.
I remember interviewing here. Most listeners probably don't know this. This was 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
Interviewing with the elders and with Eric. And I think the comment I had made when I met you guys, you and Matt and Ryan, was, why do you need me? Because you know, watching the live streams and everything and what you guys were doing, watching the playback on the Sunday mornings, it was like, you guys were doing a great job.
Yeah.
And it was handled.
Yeah.
So what do you need me for? And then I didn't realize you guys really didn't want to.
We didn't want
to. The ones to do it.
We didn't.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But all that to say, it's very evident how God prepared your heart, and it's very evident how God used you and those guys through that season to carry the worship ministry at LBC yeah. through a very trying time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a great testimony to just getting involved, how that trains you, equips you, and prepares you for what is to come. And we don't know what's to come.
Yeah.
But we can trust knowing that as long as we are faithful, God will prepare us and He will keep mm-hmm. us. So mm-hmm. that's a good testimony.
Yeah.
I like that. So yeah. What is it then in the month of May, this May, what is it that you're really hoping to challenge people with, aside from just getting involved? What do you want to see happen here at LBC this next month?
Yeah, so I mean, the practical pieces, we have a lot of needs in the church.
Yeah.
And what I want our church to understand is that we don't just do a bunch of stuff just to do stuff.
That's true.
Right? The purpose of our programming mm-hmm. is to disciple. Mm-hmm. Like, we are trying to help people grow in their love and affection for Christ.
Yeah.
Matthew 28, it's not just knowledge, but it's to do, right? To mm-hmm. observe all that I command is what Jesus is saying, which means doing what He said.
Right.
So it's more than coming and just packing our minds with knowledge. Like, the Greek epinosis is full knowledge, which means I do something with the knowledge that I've been given. So really, Christianity is an active working service type of faith.
Yeah.
And so one is I want the church to see that we have a need and that God's equipped you to fill a need, one of those yeah. needs. But B, I want people to see that it's a privilege to serve, because in our serving, we are imitating our Savior who served us.
Yeah.
Right? And so that we would see the privilege and the honor and the blessing that it is to serve someone else. Third, to see that in their service, I mean, that's service is one of the primary ways that we grow. So it's, yes, we need to be under the teaching and instruction of God's word, Sunday right. mornings and Bible studies. That's absolutely critical, 100%. We do need to be in fellowship and community. That's the life group or a small group, because then that's where we learn to apply it. We hold each other accountable.
Yeah. yeah.
But the third piece is service, and then we go do it.
You know?
And I think about the disciples when Jesus first sends the disciples two by two, you get the sense when He sends them that they don't think they're ready. Mm-hmm. And even when I read it, I'm like, I don't think these dudes are ready, right? Because they're still like disputing silly stuff.
Yeah.
But Jesus knows what He's doing. And so He says, hey, I've been teaching you. You've been watching me. You've been following me. Now I want you to go.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they come back and they report out. And then He corrects them. And then He sends them out later again. But to see that, I don't think we're ever going to feel equipped to serve. Like, that's not an excuse not to do it. But to see that God has gifted you some way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a privilege and a blessing to be a part of a church family and participate in the life of the church. And you're actually not getting the full, I don't want to use experience, but the full experience of what it means to be part of the body mm-hmm. of believers if you're not serving.
Right.
You know, because you're coming to the church with a consumer mindset, and a consumer mindset will always be empty. But there's something fulfilling when you're serving.
Yeah.
There's something about when you're giving, and something about when you consider others more significant than yourself, and you learn what it means to be humble mm-hmm. in your service to someone else, that actually helps you grow in your relationship with Christ. And the fourth thing, I don't know, am I D or number four? I don't know where I'm at. I know we have a lot of newer families in the yeah. church, newer people in the church, some that may have been here for a while, some that are pretty fairly new. I just want to see that there's an invitation for you to come join and be part of the church. We've got a spot for you. Obviously, we'd love for you to become a member. We want you to get involved in life groups, mm-hmm. but there's a place. And I think sometimes we wait for an invitation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the month of May is really your opportunity to say, I think I want to try it. I don't know where yeah. I want to be yeah. or where I should be, but I just want to like sign up so I can talk to somebody.
Pretty much this month is a giant invitation.
It's a giant invitation. Yeah. You're now officially invited. Yeah,
you are all invited right now.
Right. So if I can go through a couple of ways that people can sign up.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So one is there's going to be an online form mm-hmm. and The form is not you making a definite commitment to an area to serve. It's really more of an interest form. And okay. we want you to get on that interest form and just pick, you know, two or three areas that you think might spark your interest. Mm-hmm. And literally and there's even a spot where it says, I don't know where I want to serve. Help me figure it out.
Great.
Like, pick that one. Cool.
Yeah.
We'll get you help. We'll get you connected. And with that, I want us to understand that when we talk about service, it's a consistent service. So, you know, we have opportunities during the year for people to serve for like a quick duration. So VBS is a perfect example. Muscle through a week. But
that's a good way of saying it, yeah, by the way. Too.
And I mean, VBS is a lot of work.
That is the verb.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. It's worth it though.
Yeah. People take vacation time and all of that. Super grateful, super appreciative.
Yeah.
But the idea of service really is consistent
throughout
the year. And so we want people to participate all year long. So think about when you're the areas that we're asking people to serve, that's where they are. It's year round things. And so it may not be every Sunday or every week. It might be on a rotation, like in children's ministry or some other, we kind of break up all of the areas differently. You know, I know you have the way you schedule the worship team is different and tech team probably is a little bit different.
Yeah. It's not every week. It's not an every week commitment for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the third thing is just, we want our church to come to church on Sunday ready to be a contributor.
That's good.
And not a consumer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is a consumer piece of coming to church. We should come expecting to receive God's word taught faithfully.
Yes.
We should come ready to be fed, come ready to hear God's word and be encouraged.
Yeah.
But we also need to come with the mindset of, how can I be serving somebody else?
Right. Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece. You know, Romans 12:1, that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's giving.
Yeah.
That's literally, I mean, there's nothing about that. There's nothing about offering your body as a living sacrifice that says, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
It is the polar opposite.
Right.
And then it's followed up with, for this is your spiritual worship. It literally breaks down to, this is your reasonable service to the Lord. This is our service to the Lord. And when we gather together, you're right. We should come expectant. We should come ready to receive from God's word. But ultimately, the reason why we come is because this is our service unto the Lord. We come to give of our finances. We come to give of our talents. We come to give of our affection and love towards one another in fellowship. We come to give our praise, the praise from our lips. We come to give our attention to God's word and our affection to God where it properly belongs. I mean, there's so much of our gathering that is far more weighted on the giving side than it is the receiving side. And it's so backwards from today's culture of church, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of churches, I would say, are largely ineffective, is because they center everything on a consumer mindset. And so it's a little radical, and if I can say punk rock, to come to church in a good way, to come to church with a different mentality, a cross-cultural, kind of a countercultural mentality of, no, we come to LBC, to church, to give of ourselves to one another and to God. And whatever we get in return, praise God, and we will.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, that's the goal, is to contribute and to give of ourselves because he's worthy. And that puts us starkly in line with the historical Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's a big one, I think, for our church to grab a hold of. Come every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Bible study, come ready to be a contributor and a giver, not just a consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd say the last piece with that is, in order for us to do that well, it will require us to reprioritize things in our life, right?
Yep.
Because Sunday morning, if I'm staying up super late and I come in wiped out, like I'm not going to be much use to other people the next morning.
That is so true.
You know, or granted, I feel for families with little ones, like, because every morning can be crazy. And sometimes Sundays are just hard because we're going to get an argument with one another, spouses. Like, that stuff's going to happen.
Life happens.
That's all going to happen. But doing the things to prepare us to come ready.
Yeah.
You know, that's really important. And
so let me just throw this out there, since I can be on my worship leader soapbox rant. What would you say to the person or persons who And this isn't because they got young kids. It's not because, but they're just consistently 20 minutes late to church. How, what would you say to them that they could be on time and not miss a thing? If you're consistently 20 minutes late to church, what practical thing can you do?
Yes. Practical things to be on time.
Yeah.
I mean,
to prioritize it, to rearrange. Yeah.
Yeah. I think practical stuff, I just think we undersell sleep. I love to sleep. I go to bed early. I'm up early.
Yeah.
But I'm going to grind all day long and work hard.
Yeah.
And then I'm in bed by 9 because I want to be fresh at 5.
Right.
And I think just prioritizing sleep, and I think like turning the devices off, like our kids having TVs and video games in their rooms and they're playing them late at night. Like, parents, we can control that, you know? So it's little things like that to set yourself up. So when you wake up in the morning, you actually are a little more refreshed.
Yeah.
You can actually emotionally handle the cranky kiddos. And maybe if they get better sleep, they won't be as cranky. And you, maybe you and your wife aren't at each other's throat because you actually have gotten some sleep.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing is just like, you know, I don't know if you got to like iron your clothes the night before, do that. It's little things like that.
Yeah.
It's,
whatever it takes to get out the door 20 minutes early.
Get out. Yeah. Get out the door, you know, try to be here 10 minutes early. Cause you know, you gotta get, check your kids in and you gotta, and I think you're also by being late consistently, you're missing worship. Right. And I mean, this is a whole other podcast, I think, but
no, it totally is.
But but I think like, you know, all of us have music preferences. And if I go back to what I learned when I jumped on the worship team in the beginning, like God squashed, he didn't completely squash my preferences. I still have musical preferences.
Sure.
But I think what he helped me with was not make my preferences a big deal. And then I learned to be able to like let go.
Yeah.
And so I could just worship. Because the bottom line, if you interview every person in that church, everybody's going to have a different taste in what they want for music.
Absolutely.
We're never going to please everybody, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But that's the musical style is not the point, right? The point is that we are coming to sing praises to our amazing creator.
Totally, yeah.
And so being able to come to be able to, with a heart, and sometimes, you know, there's still some mornings where I have to pray about that. And it's not because of the style of music that's being played, you know, it's just my heart's just hard.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes that just happens too. But yeah, I mean, I think you're hitting it though. It's, you know, Sunday begins on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that I think has to come across. And so if our chief goal on Sunday is to give our best, which I would hope that's our chief goal, 'cause he's worthy of that.
Yeah.
If that is our primary goal, then like, yeah, you're right. Bigger questions have to be asked. Like, what time do we need to go to bed as a family on Saturday night? And when the kids get cranky, it's okay, especially you dads, it's okay to tell your kids, hey, I know you don't want to go to bed right now, but tomorrow's the Lord's day.
Yeah.
And we need to give him our best.
Yeah.
And, you know, to do that, we need to get good sleep so that we can give him our best tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are the pieces that I think get missed often. If we're coming as consumers, it doesn't matter what time we show up. It doesn't matter if we're all that, you know, we just showed up and got whatever we thought we needed to get and then went home.
Yeah.
But that's, like you're saying, that's not the goal here. God's commanded us to serve and to give of ourselves.
Yeah. And I think what you're probably also saying too, because there's going to be seasons where we're going to come to church on Sunday and we don't have our best.
Absolutely.
I mean,
we all do that.
We're grieving the loss of a loved one.
Right.
It's losing a job. We're going through some health issues. So I don't, you're not saying that. It's just,
no.
But it's just, it's doing the things that.
And service looks different in different seasons of life. I think that's a key point too. But at every turn, no matter what you're going through, it is still that question of how do I love well? What does God desire of me in this season of life?
And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So couple, just some helpful thoughts about service. I think just on that, just our last little conversation there, The other thing I'd like to emphasize with people is that if we're reprioritizing things to make Sunday where we're ready to come as a contributor, I would encourage our church to consider two services. Come worship first service and then serve second service.
That's radical, Chris.
Yeah. And I and someone might argue like, well, we don't have it, you know, maybe I want to go to class first service and I want to go to church second service because I don't have kids. But I want the church to force us to offer things in first service. But the way we're structured, it makes it really easy for families to come first service, worship as a family together. There's a reason why we don't have a full children's ministry first service, because we want families to be together, you know, seven years older and older. If they're younger and you want them to come, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then go to a class together or go serve with your kids in their class.
That's good.
Right? Like we really, the concerning trend that I'm noticing is there's less young families serving in children's ministry than even when I started 8 years ago. And like we've got to change that. And that's a whole other podcast of why I think serving in children's ministry is important.
Need to have you more often.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, come to two services, man. Make Sunday the Lord's day.
Yeah.
So a couple helpful thoughts. One, bottom line, it's not a matter if you serve. It's a matter where you serve and how you serve. That's really what Scripture is focused on. The gifting piece of it, how you're going to contribute, and then it's the attitude and heart behavior of how you're going to serve. Second thing, if you don't know where to serve, still fill out that form. There's going to be a QR code in the bulletin. We'll have QR codes everywhere. We're going to have an email going out. There's going to be a newsletter. There's going to be plenty of places for you to sign up and fill out that form. Fill out the spot where you don't know, or if there's something that's like, that sounds kind of fun, but I don't know how to do it, just sign up. And we'll help you figure that out.
We'll tell you if you're not built for it.
Yeah. And there might be a place where it's like,
in love, and then find the right spot for you.
We might say, I think you'd be better here than here. Like, just don't be embarrassed. Like, and then I realize it's, you know, serving is not just about meeting the needs of other people. There's a growth piece to that. Mm-hmm. There's a fellowship. You know, when I was in children's ministry, the testimony to the people that have been doing it for a while is they met their best friends serving together in children's ministry.
Yeah.
People who serve together grow close. Yeah. There's this camaraderie, like dudes love to have camaraderie, like being on a football team or a baseball team. Like, you get that kind of a feel when you're serving with people consistently, and you're not focused on our problems and issues. We're focused on a task and focus on a mission that God's given us.
That's good.
That's important. So, that's Ministry May.
Getting people, I love it. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Listeners, I hope you're excited too. Before we wrap up, Chris, I just have one more question to kind of throw at you. I've heard this quite often. I hear it among young adults sometimes. I mean, I've said it myself sometimes, where people will say, I just don't think God's gifted me in anything. And usually what they're talking about is like, they can't see any real talent that can be used. They don't feel passionate about anything. And so that's usually the thing. It's like, well, I just don't feel like God's really gifted me in anything. Yeah. So
I think that's,
what do I do? Like, what would you say to those people?
I think that's common. And I think for a lot of people, they don't know where they're gifted until they actually jump in and like try things. So, I mean, my own experience at LBC, I've done a bunch of different things even before I came on staff. Like, part of it was serving on the worship team. I served in children's ministry with Heather, and I felt like a fish out of water there. And it's ironic. Then God's like, oh, you're going to be the children's director.
Yeah. You know?
But that's where I learned how to, like, be a better dad. I learned how to, like, you know, do family worship when I served in children's ministry. There was a year where I was running men's ministry, and I did not do a good job on that one. I realized, like, I don't want to do that. I mean, but then there's other things like, just coming to events and setting up tables and chairs. And but my encouragement to somebody who feels like they're not gifted, we read two passages that clearly communicate, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've received God's varied grace.
Yeah.
God has gifted you in a way. And kind of the fun of trying to figure that out is just jumping in and trying things.
That's good.
Right. And then just trust that the people around you are going to help you. Like, they're going to see, like, I don't know if you're quite gifted there, but I see this in you. Mm-hmm. And how cool that is when someone sees something in you and says, right. Hey, I need you. I want you to do this. I wouldn't be on staff at church if it wasn't for Eric taking me to lunch and saying, I see something in you that I didn't even see in myself.
Yeah.
But he saw it in different areas of church that I had been serving.
That's good.
And he said, I want you to be part of the team because I see this in you. And if it wasn't for that conversation, I wouldn't be sitting here, right? And then going to seminary and all doing all the things. But that doesn't happen if I'm not serving anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not known for somebody to be able to see something in me. Yeah. So I would say don't use that as an excuse, but just go try stuff. Mm-hmm. Get to know the family and let them help you figure that out because they will.
Yeah.
It will happen. And part of that, I personally think that's a fun journey. It's just, and then you get to see all the different ways that the church functions and all the different gifts that people use. And
yeah.
And then you do emit. And for me, it took, 2003 until, I had that lunch with Eric in 2017. So it's 14, 15 years of me just doing a bunch of different things. And then now it's like, now I feel like I'm operating where I was designed to operate.
Yeah, that's good.
But all those years before that weren't waste.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're still part of the family and it's fun. And I got to know, that's how I grew all these great relationships in the church. That's why I can say that this church is my family's family. Like my kids, grandkids are people at this church. Their aunts and uncles are people in this church. You know, my people that I'm the closest to are people in this church, people who've discipled me and invested in me and poured into me. Mm-hmm. But the way those relationships got started was a lot of it was through service,
serving together,
just jumping in. And then that's how I got to know people.
Yeah.
And that's how I became known by people. And
that's good.
So I think if people aren't serving, they're missing out on being known and they're missing out on people being able to speak into the life and see things in them that they don't even see themselves. Mm-hmm. And so take a risk and just jump into something and then we'll help you figure it out from there.
Yeah, that's good. I think people need to hear it's not a pass fail.
No, not at all.
This isn't a pass fail thing.
No.
This is a good, better, best thing.
Yeah.
And if you find that you absolutely hate whatever it is you find yourself doing, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like find your gift because we will, and you've got a staff here who's committed to helping you find, your gifting.
Yeah.
And so, that's good. Just jump in. That's what I hear you say. Just jump in. Just jump trust in. God with the details.
Yeah. And then enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
So say it's.
Yeah. It is fun.
It's fun.
You get to know, you get to build really, really good, deep, abiding relationships way.
You do.
When we get to labor alongside each other. That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Well, praise God for what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be a fun May.
That's what I'm praying for. A fun May. And the church is just inspired by God's word. And, and that we jump in.
It's good. It's good.
Have fun serving each other.
Well, listeners, look for the t-shirts. They're going to be all around church.
Here to serve.
Here to serve. If you're able to. If you're on YouTube, you can get a good look at it. Maybe you get your hands on one.
That's right.
We'll see. Be looking for that. There's going to be a lot going on around the church, all kinds of opportunities to serve that are going to be coming up. So make sure you keep a lookout for the QR codes, for the newsletters, for all the things, all the different ways that you'll be able to get involved here at LBC. And just to, like Chris was saying, be known. Is the biggest thing to give of yourself in such a way that you are known by others and where you yourself can encourage others the way that God intends for his glory and for the good of LBC and all of us. Exciting things are to come. And I hope that you're encouraged by this. We, above all else, just want to glorify God in all that we say and do. And above all else, we believe that we are here to help equip the church to do the work of the ministry. It's not up to the professionals. It is up to everybody in the church to do the work of the ministry. And so please jump on board with us. Please join us in that endeavor to the glory of God and to the good of our whole community. Yeah. That is ultimately our prayer. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is fun. I miss it.
This is fun. I know. We'll have you on more.
All right.
Apparently, we got two more podcasts we got to do.
We do. We do. I got some brewing.
All right. Well, we here at LBC are a family of believers following Jesus together. LBC is a family that's committed to rich Bible teaching and Christ-centered worship. And we believe that God's word is sufficient for all of our lives, for all of our issues. Regardless of what you're facing, we want to welcome you and we want to remind you that you are not alone and that God's word never fails. We hope that you can join us. If you're not currently worshiping at a local body of believers that preaches the Bible, we would welcome you. Come to LBC every Sunday at 8:30 and 10 a.m. We gather together. And during the 10 o'clock hour, we have programming for every age and every stage. So we would love to meet you face to face. We would love to worship alongside you and just get to know you and help you plug into God's church to find where you can best serve. If you want all this information and more, you can find us at laurelglen.org, and you can also find ways to get a hold of our office if you would like to meet with someone. But until then, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you back again.